prayers tonight. I feel inspired to bring a little message on the subject of Jesus as Lord. I'm sure that a good part of us tonight are aware of this wonderful truth, but somehow I just feel inspired to speak about how Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we read about in the Scripture, He is Lord of all. I want us to think about that for a little while. I think about the Scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Apostle Paul, who at one time didn't believe Jesus was anything more than an imposter or a deceiver, became persuaded in a confrontation with this Jesus, as recorded in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, when Jesus appeared to him and revealed somehow himself to him on the road to Damascus, that he was made aware that Jesus was the Lord. Now, let's read this first, then when I talk about what that word Lord means. Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Or in the Greek text it says, "did not count equality with God to be seized upon or held on to." He was in the form of God. He was in eternity glory with God, but he didn't hold on to that. But he emptied himself. That's kind of the way the Greek text, and just interlinear the meaning of the words, it said, "and made himself of no reputation." He emptied himself. This is what Jesus did. Jesus, according to the Word of God and the belief of Christians for centuries, that Jesus was in the beginning with God in eternity before the world was. Jesus was from eternity, and He came down into human form. He was made in the likeness of men, as we shall see here. It says, "and was made in the likeness, He made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Mary was a virgin. She was an unmarried young lady when the angel appeared to her, as recorded in the first book of first chapter of Luke, and made her to know that she was to have a child. And she said, "How can I know this? I know not a man." And the angel said, "The power of the Highest will overshadow thee. The Holy Spirit will come upon thee, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Amen. This is a belief that it is true. Children of God have got a hold of this. We know that Jesus was begotten of the Virgin Mary. His father was God. His father wasn't Joseph, the one that Mary was engaged to be married to. And he came down in human level, made in the likeness of men, born of the lowly virgin in the stable of Bethlehem and laid in a manger. And it says, "and being found in fashion as a man," or "being found in the ways of mortals, took upon him human flesh, made in the likeness," as one place the Apostle Paul says, "made in the likeness of human flesh," of sinful flesh, although he didn't sin. But yet he was in the swathed the bands of mortality, and the flesh and the natural things the flesh is heir to. And he bore that bravely, courageously, faithfully, in pleasing his Father, who was God. Thank the Lord. "Wherefore, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus became obedient to the will of God. He knew that God the Father wanted him. to be crucified for the sins and the forgiveness and the atonement of mankind who is lost and in transgression and wickedness and sin and evil of all kinds. And Jesus was willing to go to the cross. He didn't fight it. He didn't resist it. He didn't try to get out of it. One of his own disciples took a sword and tried to defend him. Cut a man's ear off. He just healed the man's ear and told him, he says, don't do that. He didn't fight against the thing that was going to take him out of this world in death. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It wasn't just death, but it was the awfulest death imaginable. Awfulest death that a man could ever die. Was to be took out and stripped naked and hung up on a cross before the gaze of the public with the nails in your hands and in your feet. Crown of thorns as a criminal. That was what Jesus submitted because he knew that the Father wanted him to do that. Praise the Lord for his great love. It was his love that caused him to want to do that, to take our place. And bear our sins and sorrows. Bear your sins and my sins. And save us from eternal ruin. How we ought to love Him. If you believe this is true. Listen. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He submitted to it. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the Scripture brings out. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If this cup cannot pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he submitted himself. And when the mob came to take him, he submitted into their hands. He never tried to fight it. He never tried to argue them out of it. He said, whom seekest thou? They said, we come seeking Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am He. They took Him. They went through a mock trial. It wasn't a fair trial. They brought up false witnesses. And Pilate was a mind to let Him go. Pilate, the Roman governor, was a mind to let Him go. What evil has He done, he told the crowd. But the crowd, the rabble, was after His blood. Crucify Him! Crucify Him! And tradition tells us that Pilate knew that he had not enough forces and enough strength to quell the mob. And he gave him over into their hands. Do with him as you see best. And he washed his hands in some water and said, I am pure from the blood of this man. This just man, he said. Jesus submitted and he didn't fight. He made this statement. He said, I could presently call for 12 legions of angels to my Father. He said that. I believe he meant it. I believe he knew he could do it. But he would not do it. How can the Scriptures, the prophecies that had gone on before him, Isaiah and the Psalms and Jeremiah and Zechariah, how could it all be fulfilled if he didn't submit himself to the will of God? That's the kind of Savior and Lord that we have tonight, if you will trust Him. And obey Him and follow Him. He obeyed the Father and went to the cross. They took Him and they nailed Him to the cross and strung Him up. And He suffered there for 6 hours before death took Him. Well, after they had done their evil work and his life had expired, they took him down from the cross and a man came, a wealthy man from Arimathea named Joseph, and begged his body, begged Pilate, said, let me have his body. I want to bury him. Borrowed tomb. Thank God. Just borrowed it for a little while. And he put him in the sepulcher. And the Jews who had instigated all this said, you better put a guard there. Because his disciples, he said, they said that he said he's going to resurrect, be come out of the grave. So you better put a guard lest they come and steal his body and then say that he's alive. And then that would be worse than all. So they had a guard of soldiers put up around the tomb. But is that the end of the story? Thank God. It's not the end of the story. I wouldn't want it to be the end of the story. Thank the Lord. Listen. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is what?
Lord.
To the glory of God the Father. God exalted Jesus. Jesus came out of that tomb. He didn't stay dead. Because many people don't believe this at all. We're not too used to meeting people like that. But we run into someone there in our dealings that is from out of that and say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to know how to manifest the love of Christ to people. But I want to tell you, this is true. Jesus came out of that tomb a conqueror. They had the guard. They had the watch set. But at that appointed time, on the early morning of the third day, which was the first day of the week, there was a great earthquake. And an angel came down from heaven, according to the 28th chapter of the book of the Gospel of Matthew, and rolled away the stone. And then the women had come to anoint his body. And he said to the women, he said, I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Oh, glory to God. He is Lord. He is the Lord. Now, the word Lord is a great meaning. What does it mean to you? We don't have that so much in our way of talking. Unless it's a landlord. You know what a landlord is? Who is a landlord? He's the one that owns the house you live in, right? He has control of the house you live in. You're renting from him. The word Lord means owner, controller, overseer, one who has full charge and authority. That's a Lord. He is Lord. And he wants every tongue to confess. He wants every knee to bow and recognize that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. The Lord of your life. Not of time and heaven and the earth and all things in it. But the Lord of your life. The controller, the owner, the overseer of your life. The one you subject yourselves to. The one you trust in. The one you follow. The one you depend on. There are many scriptures. But I would like to go to the Psalms, the prophetic psalm, Psalm 110, which is one of my favorites, because it is pungent with the prophecy of our Lord. Psalms 110 and verse 1, a psalm of David, written, I know, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord. Now we have two different Lords here. And we need to be aware of it. This first Lord, the Lord, means Jehovah, which is the eternal God, the Heavenly Father, the Creator of the ends of the earth. The Lord, Jehovah, said unto my Lord. This Lord is another Lord. It is the owner, the overseer, the controller.
the ruler, the Lord God Jehovah, said unto my Lord Christ. What does he say? Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Sit thou. You have conquered death. You have overcome the foe, the powers of Satan and sin and death and hell. Now you come and sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And that's what happened. That after Jesus had rose from the dead and revealed himself to his disciples and showed them with many infallible, unfailing proofs that he was alive, then there came the day in their presence. While he was talking to them, he began to go up and ascend up from their sight. And a cloud received him. And he went up into the heavenly element to sit at the right hand of God. What is he doing up there? Do you believe that he is alive? Do you know that he is alive? He is Lord. He has ascended up on high. He ascended at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. That when we pray in the name of Jesus, he will heal, he will save, he will bless, he will help. He watches over his children. He's our Lord at the right hand of the Father. Right at this moment, while I'm standing in this pulpit, the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God. And he's pouring out his blessed sweet spirit upon everyone who will follow him and obey him. And there is a connection. There is a, relationship. Communication, praise the Lord, from heaven into the hearts of true, faithful believers in him. Those who have taken him as their Lord and their Savior and who will follow him and obey him, dear ones, Jesus at the right hand of the Father is sending forth his blessings and his help. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful. I thank God not only to just believe this because I was taught it as a child and that I was taught it in church services, which I've attended all my life, but I believe it because it is revealed to my own heart. I have had the experience. I know him. I have seen him, not with these fleeting, fatal eyes, but with my heart. And my understanding, I have seen him. He is Lord of all. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is waiting until that time when he will destroy this world. You believe Jesus will destroy this world? You believe he has the power to destroy this world? He's got it. But the Father says, wait. Wait until I say so. Scriptures bear this out. No one knows. Jesus himself does not know when that day will be, when the Father will say, it's enough. But he's waiting, according to the Scriptures. He is Lord of all. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now verse 2 says something else. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. This is talking that if the Lord God Almighty will send the rod of his strength, of the strength of Christ out of Zion, out of his people. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Oh, I tell you, our lives can be a conquering, overcoming, victorious lives because of our sovereign Lord. He lives within us. He helps us to reign over self and sin and the world and despair and gloom and unbelief and trouble and sorrow. He gives us the victory again and again. He is the Lord. Do you really believe that he is Lord? He is Lord of heaven and earth. Thy people, he says, shall be willing. Or the Hebrew says, free will offerings. You know, when you really see that Jesus is Lord. Down on your knees you go. Not just literally, but in your heart you bow to Him. When you realize how great He is. When the Apostle Paul was made aware, like I mentioned a while ago, that he was dealing with the Lord of Lords and the Lord of Glory, when he realized that, down on his knees he went, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's the way you and I will be too. When we realize that this Jesus, He's not just a fictitious character of history and an idea and a belief in people, but He is the living Lord of Lords. When we can realize that, down on our knees we go in our hearts, Lord, what do you want us to do? I heard the story about a slave master. Yes, he was a slave master, but he went to this auction where they were selling these slaves. Pardon me for mentioning it like this, but this is the story. And there was a young slave woman. She was very beautiful. Very beautiful, very lovely, very sweet appearing. And this man looked upon her and he had compassion. And he was a wealthy man. And he decided in his heart that he would buy this young woman and give her her liberty. And so the bidding started. And he would throw the bid in. And the price went up higher and higher. And somebody else was wanting her. He was wealthy. He could just go as far as he wanted to go. And the young woman was getting very angry, sitting there watching this going on, and she didn't know who he was and what he was wanting her for. And she was getting angrier and more upset and more bothered all the time, and the price kept going up and kept going up. Finally, he got her. He gave the last bid in. Sold! And the young woman was so upset and so sad and so angry and so indignant for this. And I believe in this court of the story that she made some kind of statement. She made some kind of complaint about it. Verbally, you know. After the sale was done, he walked up to her and he says, "You want to know why I bought you? I bought you so I could set you free." Do you know what that young woman did? She went down on her knees. And she said, "I'll serve you the rest of my life." The Lord, the Lord of glory, bought us to set us free. He wants you to be free. He's our Lord. And He wants to set you free. That's why He bought you. He doesn't want you to serve Him if you don't want to serve Him. He doesn't want that. He wants you to want Him. That young woman went down on her knees. She said, "I'll serve you all my life." And that's what you'll do too. When you realize that Jesus is your Lord, you'll serve Him the rest of your life. You'll never turn Him loose as long as you keep Him. He is my Lord. I love Him. I'll obey Him. I believe in Him. I trust in Him. I'll follow Him. Wherever He goes, I'll follow Him. Because He is my Lord. Praise God. This is wonderful. This is wonderful, dear ones. I would like to read another scripture in Psalms, if I may. In the 45th Psalm. And this is also a prophecy of Jesus. 45 of Psalms. Just one little part here. The setting of this psalm is, it says, a psalm of love, which means a psalm of pure and holy affection for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is about. And what is the backing of it is, the king has found a young woman that he desires to have to be as his bride. But interwoven in this is a prophecy of the King of Kings coming from heaven to claim you and me as his bride. And so when he says in verse 6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever," that is prophecy of Jesus as recorded in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, is quoted and referring to Jesus. So now I want you to notice in verse 10 and 11, "Hearken, O daughter," and when he says this, he's talking to you and to me. "Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house." Everything in the past, put it behind you. "So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Worship thou him." Praise the Lord. You forget all about it. Oh, praise the Lord. When we can get a hold of Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we find His forgiveness, we find His love, we find His transforming grace, we put everything else in the past. Old things pass away. Our old habits, our old ways, our old ways of pride and vanity, covetousness, striving, we put all that in the past. And He is our Lord. And we worship Him the rest of our days. And nobody has to make us do it either. We want to do it. We serve Him. We do our best. We know we're not worthy of anything. But He is our Lord. I heard about one young man that saw a young woman that he loved her, and finally got up the time that he wanted to talk to her about being his wife. And he told her that he loved her and he wanted her to be his wife. And she says, I can't do anything. He says, "I'll teach you." She says, "I don't even know how to cook." He says, "I'll show you how to cook." She says, "I don't know how to sew." He says, "I'll show you how to sew." He says, "I want you." "Yes, but," she says, "I don't have any money." He says, "You don't need any money. I'll take care of you from now on. I want you." "Yes, but," she says, I don't feel worthy." He says, "No, you're not, but I still want you. I want you." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us. He wants to be your Lord. He wants you. "Oh, you don't have anything. You're not worthy of it." "No, you're not. You never was." But He still wants you. He wants you to be His sweetheart. Yes, that's right. He wants us to love Him and worship Him. And He wants to be our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Oh, I don't know. I guess that's probably enough. But I want to read one more scripture, if I may. In Acts, the 10th chapter, when Peter was preaching on to the people there that he had been sent, Apostle Peter, Jesus' disciple. And he says in verse 36, the 10th chapter of Acts, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all." Praise the Lord. He is the Lord of all. And another scripture we want to notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it says here, 6 and 13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only Pontifex, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, who dwelling in the light which no man can approach, and to whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be power and honor and power everlasting." He is in His own time, He's going to show.
Now, right now, you have to have faith, and you have to have understanding of your heart. You have to have a willing heart to follow Him before you can realize that He is the Lord of Lords. That's true. I mean, we can be rubbing shoulders. You can be believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and know it with all your heart, and you have no doubt in your mind, and it's proving itself over and over more and more. And you might be right next to a person that absolutely does not believe it at all. We're all mixed up down here in this world. That's right. All kinds of people. There's just all kinds of people in this world. Some believe and some don't believe. But there's coming a time. There's coming a time, my dear people, when this one I'm talking about is going to make it clear, and all humanity from the beginning of the world is going to see Him in His power and glory as the King of kings and Lord of lords. There will be no doubt in their mind. There will be no wonderment. They'll know Him. Now we can know Him. We can have Him revealed to us. He can be real to us. We can love Him and serve Him. We can be united to Him in the Spirit. But it's all in a... what shall we say? It's in a mystery. It's all revealed only through the Spirit of God. But in that day, every knee is going to bow. They're going to confess. They may not confess it now, but they will then. And I wonder tonight, we just need to be encouraged, we need to be persuaded that Jesus is Lord. If you know, if you believe, if you are persuaded that He is Lord, then you need to respond and submit yourself and give your heart and life to Him. Give all to Him. He is Lord of all. May the Lord help us tonight.